Today on Real Radio.
A dear sister, a precious sister of ours, of mine, just this last week, her son was at a store. And a man came up out of nowhere and cocked a pistol and put it right up against his head and said, "I'm going to kill you." And something happened in that moment, and that guy ran away and didn't pull that trigger. Now, how and why did that happen?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're going to be taking a look at the entire 17th chapter of John. Jesus is on his way to his execution, and yet God the Son takes the time to pray to God the Father. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Prayer of Jesus.
Quickly, by way of introduction, remember how Jesus told them, "A little while, you won't see me, but then a little while and you'll see me again because I go to the Father." Anybody remember that? Raise your hand. Last service didn't remember a word of it. Okay. Remember how we talked about how that was key thinking to a Jewish mind? That when Jesus said to them, as it was of the high priest in days of old, "I'm standing outside the tabernacle. Now you see me. A little while you won't see me for a moment, but then a little while you will see me." Remember what that meant? He was going to go into the Holy of Holies, do the sacrificial act and duties of the high priest, and then after having done that for the sin of the nation, he was going to come back in front of all the people. So Jesus, last week in our previous word, which flows obviously, he's still together with the guys, they're all gathered around him, they're just about ready to make that crossing over of the Kidron Valley to the garden. He told them, "I'm with you now, in a little while you won't see me, but then in a little while you will see me." And then he qualified it by saying, "because I go to the Father." And we studied last time how that speaks of the high priestly work of Jesus Christ. If you were not here, get the tape, because we introduced to you a rather unique or provocative view of what transpired after Jesus Christ was crucified, then after he rose from the dead, and certainly before he ascended into heaven. What took place in that time frame? Jesus would have had to have conducted the great act or the great work of the high priest of who he truly is. In fact, remember, all other high priests prior to Jesus was only a type or a model. Jesus Christ himself is the great high priest. Now, having said that, and I want to make this really clear, if the high priest went in and gained access for the people, and now for the whole year the people had access to God, how great it is that John 17 comes after John 16. Because in John 17, Jesus introduces to us what has been known as the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. It's an amazing moment where Jesus Christ himself allows us to hear a prayer conversation between him and his Father. And guess who it's about? It's about you. It's about us. And so affectionately and so reverently has this chapter been called the Holy of Holies. Now take your pen and jot this down, because someone's going to get upset with me with this. But it is true. You ever heard somebody say the Lord's Prayer? Oh, let's recite the Lord's Prayer. I want to ask you a question. That's found in Matthew chapter 6, but what is the Lord's Prayer? Have you ever looked at it? Anybody, can he call it to mind? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We call that the Lord's Prayer. I want to ask you, where did that come from? Oh, not the prayer, but the title of it, the Lord's Prayer? People, technically, theologically, it's not only not the Lord's Prayer, it cannot be the Lord's Prayer. Because if you continue on in that prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive, right? Did Jesus ever sin? No. How can that prayer be the Lord's Prayer? It's not his prayer. In fact, in the other gospel, it says, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father which art in heaven, right? Are you with me? Hear me out and save your emails. When we pray, Jesus was teaching them then, when we pray, you can use this prayer that I introduced to you, he says, as a skeletal or a scaffolding to hang your personal prayer onto. In other words, our Father. You can pause right there and talk to God all you want and pray to him about the fact that he is our Father, which art in heaven. Or which is in heaven. What does that mean? We are to be directing our prayer to the one who is in heaven. I live on the earth. He dwells in heaven. I'm not great. He is great. I have a zero perspective. He can see everything. Are you with me? Do you understand that? That is what we mistakenly call the Lord's Prayer, when in reality we should call it our prayer. This is our prayer. Right? Now, as we turn to John 17, you should jot in your margin or in your notes that this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus. Or you can say, as scholars do, this is called the high priestly prayer. And I love that, you guys, in light of John 16. Because when he, as it were, speaks about stepping out of the temple, having done his sacrificial work for the sins of the world, remember? He now, in a way, comes out of that, and he introduces to us John chapter 17. And there's several things I'm going to ask you to look at, and by nature of the chapter, we're going to go through this quickly, and I really don't want to break it up. So we're going to kind of run through this, and if you get blessed by a verse or you get blessed by a section, take it home and meditate on it, okay? Jesus says this, or I should say it opens up this way. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said. Can you mark that down? Can you highlight that? So that's it? Yeah, as far as we're going to go right now. This is great. How do you pray? How do you often pray? Don't we often pray like this? Huh? Bow our heads? I mean, that's okay. Somewhere we're taught that. Somewhere we're taught to fold our hands. Maybe it's in reverence, right? We fold our hands. I mean, I don't want to upset you too much all in one day, but nowhere in the Bible does it say, fold your hands, bow your head. Okay? We do that out of respect. Somewhere it came to us as tradition. But you guys, Jesus is blowing all that out of the water. He's apparently, we're not sure, possibly standing. He speaks, and it looks like he speaks, and it sounds like he speaks out loud. The disciples are there. He speaks these words, lifting up his eyes. His eyes are open, his face is heavenward, and he begins to pray, looking to heaven. What a great way. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't it be great that the next time we have a guest speaker here, we pull a little trick on him, and we pray scripturally? That is, let's pray. Or if it's Justin Alfred who shows up here the most, brothers and sisters, let's pray. Let's begin to pray now. And you pray, and everyone just goes like this. I mean, wouldn't that not be biblical? According to John 17:1, it is. You say, well, that's the way Jesus did it. Then that's the way we should do it. If that's the way he did it, that's the way we should do it. Can you pray bowing your head? Of course you can. In fact, you know what? People want to always ask questions. How should I pray? Pray all the time. Pray anyway. Should I lay down? Should I stand up? Should I look in Southern California? We, early on in our Christian walk, learn how to pray while we're driving. We probably spend more time in prayer in the freeway than any other place. And that's a good thing. Pray, you know, and I think we all understand this, that prayer is an attitude. Prayer is an attitude. It's not so much a clockwork type organized event, but it is an attitude, to walk in an attitude of prayer. You know, frankly, if somebody asks you, when did you pray last? We should be able to say, I haven't stopped. And I don't mean to be facetious about that. That should be the way you and I live our lives. Don't you walk around this world, this day, just talking to God? Oh, I hope you do. Now, Christians probably look like lunatics, because we might even kind of mumble out loud about it. Lord, I don't know, that price of that thing over there sure seems kind of high to me. Maybe you could lead me to a cheaper one. I mean, we probably look like we're nuts. But that's an attitude of prayer. We should live like that. We live in a culture that when somebody says, well, I'll pray about it. What do you mean you're going to pray about it? Has it gotten that bad that you must pray? Oh, no, the Christian, it should just be your attitude. An attitude of prayer. Regarding verse number one, I'm going to ask you to jot down in your notes, and we're going to write down maybe 9 or 10 of these things. And that is, first of all, concerning prayer, let's take the lead from Jesus and mark this down. Prayer is to be direct. He just easily prays to the Father. So should we. Our prayer should be direct. It should be done in a very direct fashion. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. He's talking about the cross. The cross that is coming. The cross is coming. Father, I'm praying. Glorify your Son. Glorify yourself. Glorify me. By way of the cross. We would never think of praying that way unless we operated and realized that we have direct access to God at all times. Jesus taught us that in chapter 16. Having that direct access, we can say concerning the crosses in our lives, Lord, glorify your name. Remember several studies ago, our key aim as Christians is not to pray, Lord, deliver me from this or deliver me from that. But Jesus taught us that our prayer should be in this situation, glorify thy name. Remember? We prayed for Brian and this horrible incident that happened with him and all that trauma. But God will be glorified. Now, frankly, would he have rather opted out of the trauma? Of course. With what my wife's going through, would she rather opt out of the trauma? Of course. But you know what our hope is? Do you know what his hope is? Is that in the trauma, in the test, in the trial, God answers his prayer. And his prayer is, I will glorify my name in your life. That is a definition of a Christian life. Will he be glorified in our lives? We can go to God direct, and we need to keep going to God direct in everything. We shouldn't wait for some crisis. We should always be talking to God. A dear sister, a precious sister of ours, of mine, just this last week, her son was at a store, and a man came up out of nowhere and cocked a pistol and put it right up against his head and said, I'm going to kill you. And something happened in that moment, and that guy ran away and didn't pull that trigger. Now, how and why did that happen? How did it happen? The world is crazy. Why? Only God knows. But this one thing we know, that young man is still alive. I need to ask, he needs to ask more than anybody, why am I still alive? And the answer is this, God's not done with that young man. Why didn't that thug pull that trigger? Somehow, in some way, a thought came into that man's mind to leave, to run away. Why? It's probably angelic, you know that? It's probably divine. But that young man's life was spared. And that young man ought to be right now saying, God, you spared my life. I dedicate my life to you right now. What do you want me to do? Boy, I hope it doesn't take a gun or an accident for the rest of us to catch on, huh? We can talk to him direct. We ought to lift up our head and our eyes toward heaven and say, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. Look at verse 2, simple. Write down the word simple. Direct, verse 1. Verse 2, simple. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Oh, you guys, this is so simple. And don't try to get me into some big debate about Calvinism and all that other stuff that people have too much time on their hands to argue about. Jesus says, thank you. Father, you bring to me those that you are saving. Look what it says there. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The first thing I notice in verse 2 is how strange it is. You want to know why? Get out your pen and jot this down. Verse 2 screams the Trinity. Did you know that? So I don't see the Holy Spirit in there. Yeah, you do. Look closer. As you have given him. Who's talking? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Father, but it's in the third person. Interesting, huh? As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. It's so simple. That what's going on here is that those who are going to go to heaven, the Father is drawing them to Jesus. Man, are you guys with me? Everybody awake? Say you're awake, please. Something. Thank you. Right. This ought to just excite every person in here who wants Jesus Christ. Do you want Jesus? Do you want him? Say, yeah, I want him. You know why you want him? The Father has been going like this to you. Come here. Come here. Come to my son. Come on. Now, if you don't want Jesus, the Father is not even talking to you. You are lost. He won't speak to you. You're not being drawn to him. You will live this life, and this will be the best life and the only life you'll have ever known. And then when you die, there's nothing left but, according to the Bible, according to the very words of Jesus, an eternity in hell. And you will never see the light of eternity. No one can quite explain hell, although we have descriptions of attributes of it. This is what we can conclude. It is a place of absolute isolation, absolute loneliness that no one has ever known, such loneliness. It is a sensation of falling, as it were, in a bottomless pit. You never stop falling. There is a sensation of feel of a worm. There's some sort of a worm in the spirit world that consume, or I should say, is attempting to consume your body. But it's never full. There are flames that burn you, but they give no light. You are in a place called outer darkness. It is so bad, the Bible says, that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I saw my wife this week in such great pain that she was grinding her teeth. Can you imagine being in hell and grinding your teeth and you look, as it were, if you could, at a clock and it never moves? There's no remedy coming. Say, Jack, you're freaking me out. I brought my friend here to have a happy day and all this stuff. Listen, here's my point. I'm glad you're here. But listen, here's the thing. I am not going to be guilty of giving you some little warm, fuzzy, cute, huggy message, and you go skipping on your way, go over here to islands, slip on a banana and die and go into eternity, and I didn't tell you the truth. You know, I'd rather have you hate me and you know the truth than have you like me for a couple of hours or days and it winds up meaning nothing. What do you think Jesus came for? To keep us out of the hell that he said he made for the devil and his fallen angels. He doesn't want humans to go there. But if you're sitting here this morning going, I don't care. I had somebody tell me, I told you this before, I couldn't believe it. I almost threw the guy over the pier. I was on the pier sharing the Lord with this guy, and this guy goes, I don't care if I go to hell. In fact, would you say it? Yeah, I said, there's a lake of fire there. Lake of fire? I water ski. I'm just going to water ski in the lake of fire. I saw you with my friends. So you're not going to have any friends there. And you're not going to be water skiing on the lake of fire. I mean, he was thinking like it's going to be a picnic. Listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to experience eternal life? If you do, listen, if you do and you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior, do it now today. If you don't care about what I'm talking about, you're not called. From eternity, he's not calling you. He's never been calling you. You could care less. You're thinking, when's this guy going to shut up? I got 20 minutes. Look at the third verse. And this is eternal life. Oh, man. This is life never ending forever and ever. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's it. You want to get to heaven? Verse 3. Believe in him. Trust him. That is honoring. Jot that down. Number one, direct. Verse 1. We have direct access to God. Number 2, verse 2. It's so simple. God is calling you. Respond to him. Number 3, honoring. Honoring. We see this in verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Honor God. Is that too hard to do? Honor God. I tell you, it is very difficult to do when our pride is in the way, when we think we are the big kahuna. But to bow the knee, I need to stay on track, but you know there's going to come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And you might go, not me, I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. And here's the wild thing about it. In eternity, when you bow your knee, you're going to mean it. There's no angel's going to go, bow. I said bow. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow. Listen, Satan himself, it's going to be amazing. Satan himself is going to bow his knee to Jesus, and he's going to say, you are the Lord. And he's going to mean it. And I don't know about you, but I'm sorry. That's like a pregame show warm-up fun thing. Just to think that Satan is going to say, you are the Lord. Because he thinks he's the Lord. You are the Lord. I don't know. There's going to be a cheering section from Calvary Chapel. It's going to go, yeah, all right, yeah, go. It's going to be great. Every knee will bow. Now, here's the thing. I want to bow my knee willfully and gladly. But it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. But here's the cool thing. Read the fine print. If you bow your knee now, the Bible says you'll pass from judgment to life. So that you'll like bowing your knee down to Jesus every moment of the day. It'll be the joy of your life.
The good news declared by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The Prayer of Jesus, this presentation is a look at the entire 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, The Prayer of Jesus, and we'll continue on our next broadcast of Real Radio with more in this study. Meanwhile, we invite you to get in touch with us, especially if you'd like to hear this study once again. And probably the best way to do so is to pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. You'll not only be able to hear today's broadcast, but past broadcasts, and you'll be able to be a subscriber to future podcasts as well. That's realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, our number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. So we ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And remember, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, you can find it easily at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.